News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. This is arguably the most consequential Congress in my lifetime. And Congressman Mike Kennedy is in the Uinta Basin today and has been on the front lines of the passing of President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. We'd like to discuss the Big Beautiful Bill with Congressman Kennedy as it relates to energy independence, waste, fraud, and abuse, and the state of the economy. Congressman Kennedy, welcome to the KVEL studios.
Steve, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you you making the attempt to come out to, you were in Daggett County the day before yesterday, as
right.
I understand, and you've been in Uinta and Duchesne County for the last couple of days.
Doing town halls in all of them. So, yep, we've actually, this will be our 7th, 8th, and I think even 9th town hall, in-person town hall that we've been doing over the past
I'd like to just comment on your effort to provide outreach to rural communities in Utah. Within your district, because many come out here only when they want the votes, but then after that we never hear from them, and you're different.
It's always great to be out, Steve. Honestly, this is America's heartland, and the great work that you and your people are doing, we're so honored to represent you in Washington, D.C. and strive to make Washington more like this place instead of this place more like Washington.
There we go. Let's talk about the Big Beautiful Bill and provisions regarding domestic energy production. Now, funding for energy project was a provision within this bill, as I understand. What type of projects would this funding provide? How can we take advantage of maybe some of that?
Absolutely. The Big Beautiful Bill is a 900-page, lots of things in there, and there's great provisions to actually, capital expenditures are one of the things that a business could write off. So if you're making massive investments and things, equipment that you need, then you can write those off. The tax provisions on that are not just applicable to the energy industry, but all businesses. The tax cuts for your average Americans are a great deal, but I sit on natural resources and I'm vice chair of the public lands subcommittee. And in those circumstances, Steve, one of the things that we've really been killed by over the past 30 and 40 years is permits. It's hard to get permission to do anything when it's associated with federal lands. And even when it's not associated with federal lands, the environmentalists shut these things down on a regular basis through lawsuits, NEPA lawsuits and all that, and Endangered Species Acts. So what we've done in the Big Beautiful Bill is reform the permitting process so that we can actually drill and find and utilize the resources that we have in the United States of America. So we can be energy dominant. So permit reform, we can build these projects faster. We just had last week a Natural Resources Committee hearing, what they called permitting purgatory. They mentioned during that hearing that I was in, 26 years it'll take to permit a mine for us to start actually utilizing these mining resources that we have. And we have a critical shortage of rare earth minerals that we need for our magnets, for our batteries, for our infrastructure, technology infrastructure. And so the opportunity to move those mine permits, those drilling permits, so we can have oil, natural gas, cheap energy, we can do anything with cheap energy. If we have expensive energy or unavailable energy, our society as we know it will not only not move forward, it will collapse.
When do these provisions within this bill take effect?
Starting right away. President Trump signed that bill. I think it's been about 3 weeks ago that we passed it and signed it. So a lot of these things through the Department of the Interior and other regulatory agencies associated with the federal government, we're going to start moving those things out.
If a business or an industry had questions on what provisions or what benefits that this bill would provide them regarding expansion, could they reach your office?
Absolutely. We're happy to explain that to them. In fact, I've got a great team of people in Washington, D.C. as well as my district in Provo, my office there, and we're happy to take those questions. And I want to point out, we were just at Simplot Mine this morning, and during that visit, we met with Dustin, who is one of the workers there, and I talked about no tax on overtime, no tax on tips. The reality is a lot of these good, hardworking people in America, the government has taken a piece. Every time they do more, they get taxed more associated with that.
It's a disincentive to work.
It is, yes. So why would I work more overtime when you're going to pay more taxes associated with this? So the policy associated with no tax on overtime, no tax on tips. Our waitresses that work really hard in our restaurants, our people that are at the mine like Dustin are being taxed on their overtime. When they make more, they get taxed more. We're actually reducing their taxes and eliminating those. And I'll point out as well, no tax on Social Security for 86% of our senior citizens. They won't pay taxes on their Social Security benefits. So I'm proud of these provisions associated with the Big Beautiful Bill because, Steve, you and I both know that when money is in your pocket, when it's in your people's pocket, that it's not going to be wasted by the federal government, number one, and those people can use it to buy the things they need and increase our economy and also invest in their own businesses. So I'm a big fan of that.
Uinta Railway Project. You've been a big supporter of the Uinta Railway Project and domestic energy production, and we want to thank you for that. To speak about progress, obstacles that might be standing in our way to seeing us moving dirt and actually laying down the first
line. You and I have been talking about this for years because, as you know, I ran for U.S. Senate in 2018, and I've been aware of this area and its amazing possibilities for many years. And the fact that that Uinta Basin Railway project has been stymied for years as a result of environmental lawsuits, and those lawsuits were shut down 8-0 at the Supreme Court. I'm proud of that fact. The reality is that now we need those permits. President Trump, by word of mouth in Washington, D.C., is going to put up an executive order that allows those permits to start moving forward. And when that railway is built, of course, we expect still continued lawsuits. That seems to be the only thing that environmentalists can do to try to stymie these projects. But as we start to build that railway, you and I are going to see an energy reawakening in the United States of America that's actually going to not only make domestic energy cheap and available for our own needs, we can start exporting that energy to our friends and allies all over the world, enhancing their security at the same time to our financial benefit.
Recently, we had the Deschene County Commissioners, all three of them here in studio for a discussion about their master plan, their 10-year master plan that they're developing right now. And, of course, the railway part of that. One thing that I'm kind of concerned about is the impact mitigation. There's 9,000 workers that are going to be here through the construction phase. Now, some of that is going to be in man camps, and they're going to be a transitional workforce, but there are going to be a lot of families that will be moving into the area. Do we have the infrastructure in place, and do we have the plan in place? And there was a big question mark there in Deschene County, and I'm sure it's the same here in Uinta County and over the mountain, over Indian Canyon and Carbon County as well. Are there resources that are available? Deschene County, most of the oil, crude oil that's being developed is on private ground, so the county doesn't get the impact benefit from the mineral lease monies to invest back in the infrastructure. So are there resources that are available from the federal government to help communities like ours that are most impacted by this extraction?
Interesting you say that, because we were just in Dutch John a few days ago, and Dutch John originates, from what they were telling me, from the Flaming Gorge Dam that was built 60 years right. ago. And that town, which had thousands of people in it back 60 years ago, and once the dam is built, the man camp, the town, the school, and all that sort of thing, is lots of people leave, but many people stay. So as to federal programs that are available, I'm not aware of those immediately, but you can bet, as your congressman, I would look for those, that if there are programs to help with the infrastructure associated with families and building of schools that are necessary, the roads that are necessary, finding the water, which is a big deal out here in Utah generally, and the Uinta Basin specifically, is we need all hands on deck for that kind of infrastructure. And so, no, I'm not aware of particularly any programs that are implemented that way, because this will be a local and a private program. But I also see the good planning that's been done for years from our 7-county infrastructure people, and I'll work with them collaboratively to find any sort of federal dollars that we can, but also to make sure we're leveraging the investment, private investment resources, as well as the local communities, to make sure that those people that come in are well cared for while they're here.
Possibly maybe even an increase in the percentage of mineral lease monies
right.
that the counties local communities get opposed to the federal government. I think it's a 52-48% gap.
That's a great point. Absolutely.
So possibly we could look at a higher percentage, and maybe you could help us with that as our...
Always eager to help, because a lot of these people, when they discover the beauty that is Utah and the great people that are in the Uinta Basin, they want to stay, and we want them to stay. As long as they don't bring their crazy progressive policies along with them, come and stay in the gem of the best state in the country. We're happy
come
to have
stay, them. But leave your politics at the
leave your line. Leave your nutty California politics somewhere else. That's
state
true.
Line. Okay, so do you support the selling of federal public lands? That's been a controversial issue. Senator Mike Lee had proposed that as part of the Big Beautiful Bill, and he then rescinded it because of the controversy associated with it. What are your feelings towards that?
Senator Lee has proposed a bill called the Houses Act, which contiguous lands, if there are federal lands contiguous to a local city or a local county that were to be utilized, could be utilized for housing, and infrastructure that's necessary, I'm very supportive of that. Tearing down the Delicate Arch to build houses there, which I was just there a couple months ago, that would never happen, obviously, in that area. But the idea that our national parks would be violated, that our precious hunting grounds, the fishing capacity that we have would be violated by such proposals, is reprehensible to me, as well as most of us that talk about these things. So I believe there is an opportunity for us to responsibly use our federal lands, as reflected in Senator Lee's proposal, the Houses Act, which would allow us to build housing, which that's a big deal. I have children looking for houses. You can't find houses in the state of Utah for less than $500,000. It's a big problem. And if we were to address our housing crisis by looking at federal lands and utilizing those federal lands to build housing, we'd find that we'd have more available housing so that our children and grandchildren could live here. Senator Lee's proposal was a tiny fraction of the federal portfolio that he was proposing, but it was done in such a way that people came out in droves on both sides of the aisle because they were concerned that Delicate Arch and Zion National Monument was going to be sold. I'll just say people that say that are lying about the proposal. Senator Lee had a good idea, and actually others have proposed similar things. But I'll say to you, Steve, and your listeners, that I'm deeply invested in using our lands to their highest and best use, but also making sure that our precious resources and great places like our national parks are not violated in the process.
I wanted to ask you about Medicaid reform under the proposed Big Beautiful Bill legislation. Fraud and abuse due to illegal immigration?
Is 1.4 million illegal aliens, by the Congressional Budget Office estimates, are on Medicaid right now. In places like California and New York, that these states have registered over a million people on Medicaid, and that's going to break the system. We don't have the money. In fact, one of the shocking things about California, in a nonsensical way it approaches things, they're $10 billion in the hole because they have all these illegal people that they can't actually afford to have on Medicaid, and the federal government is done with paying for that sort of thing. And I agree with that, because all the taxpayers all over the country are paying for it, people that aren't even citizens, to be on Medicaid. I'll say, if a county or a city or if an individual wants to buy some sort of insurance program for a person that's here illegally, I guess they can do that, but that illegal individual is going to be deported at some point. So I'm just a fan of legal immigration, and Medicaid should not be abused in this fashion. It's going to break the system. Medicaid was designed for pregnant women, not for illegal aliens.
Regarding Medicaid reform, I noticed some of the mainstream media were arguing that the effect that this would have on rural hospitals and rural health care.
The Democrats have lied about what was in the Big Beautiful Bill over and over again. They're talking about snatching food from the mouths of hungry children. They're talking about kicking people off Medicaid. The reality, Steve, for you and your listeners, is that we're right-sizing these programs. If you are able-bodied with no dependent children, you should go out, and you are, by our current law with the Big Beautiful Bill, you're required to go out for 20 hours a week and try to find a job, or be employed in a job, or be in a training program for a job. If you've got a child that is less than 14 years old, you're exempt. If you're disabled, you're exempt. If you are pregnant, you will get your Medicaid. You don't have to get a work. You don't have to go out and try to find a job. So when anybody's talking about us kicking people off and taking food from hungry people, it is a lie. What we're doing is reforming these programs so that people that are able-bodied, 28-year-old kids that are living in their parents' basement, that are on food stamps through COVID process and through Biden-Harris administration, that they're on food stamps and on Medicaid, and they're just playing video games in their parents' basements, that kid needs to get out of the basement and go find a job, which is good for them, good for the economy, and good for these programs, because the programs are made for vulnerable people, not for able-bodied working-age adults that actually could go out and get a job.
The impact illegal immigration boom that we've had due to the Biden administration opening the borders, how has that affected our welfare programs like SNAP?
It's been a disaster. The Biden administration was registering people willy-nilly on Medicaid and food stamps with the intention of keeping them on those programs forever. Those programs were never intended to be perpetual insurance and food aid.
What's the motivation behind that?
I think the motivation is to create dependency on people and buy votes, ultimately, at some point. It seems to me, and actually this is where, why would the Biden administration allow 15 million people across the borders illegally, besides trying to pack the states for some reason that are losing people? The reality is, and we already pointed that out, people are leaving California because their progressive policies are terrible. I don't want to live in California. I love Utah. I think Utah, Florida, Texas, these are states that people are fleeing to from places like New York and California because their policies are terrible. You see this guy, Mamdani, who's been nominated to be the next mayor of New York. Right. And people all over the country are looking to New York City and saying, we've got an outright socialist who wants to be mayor of one of our great cities in the country, throughout the world, New York City. And the guy talks about state-run grocery stores. I'll tell you, that's what Marxism is and socialism, and I'm not invested in that. So for us, we want to continue healthy policies, and we're happy to have these people leave California and come here. Just don't bring your crazy policies with you.
Tax cuts and Job Act legislation that was passed during the Trump administration, President Trump's first term in office, are made permanent under the Big Beautiful Bill. How will this help the average Jew in a basin family?
We expect every taxpaying citizen to pay $3,000 less as a result of these policies. And I already pointed out, no overtime, no tax on overtime, no tax on tips, and no tax on Social Security as well for 86% of our senior citizens. So I'm thrilled with that. People keeping money in their pockets is going to allow them to invest in their own economy. So that's a big deal. We also expect investment in personal economy so that each individual is going to be, each family that's paying taxes, they're going to end up making $7,000 to $11,000 more dollars next year because of the economic progress and also the reduced taxes. So big fan of these policies that are actually unfettering the United States of America citizens so they can go out and do the things in their community that they should.
Really quickly, there's a couple of more subjects I want to get to in the limited time we have remaining: tariff negotiations and the U.S. economy. Are you supportive of what President Trump is doing?
President Trump likes good deals, and he uses tariffs to drive good deals. I am supportive of him moving these agendas forward. You and I, Steve, and our United States citizens have been paying tariffs in other countries for ages for the products that they send to us. So, no, I'm not a fan of tariffs. I believe ultimately that President Trump is using these as a tool to negotiate with countries so we can get better deals so the American taxpayer is not getting ruined by these
processes. Will these negotiations help to address the deficit?
Absolutely, it will, because when the economy grows, then ultimately we all benefit. And I'm, Steve, really focused on reducing our $37 trillion in debt. It's a security crisis for us in our country. If we don't get that debt under control, then we're lost as a country. People are complaining to me about the defunding of PBS and NPR. And I'll just say, if I have a choice as a personal family economy to pay the mortgage and the electric bill versus paying for a subscription to a news feed that I like, I'm going to pay my mortgage and my electric bill. I have to focus on the essentials. And if people want to support NPR and PBS, send your own dollars. Don't make all the federal taxpayers pay for it. We've been spending $1 billion a year to NPR and PBS to do what they do. They can do it on their own with donations. And they should go out to HBO and Netflix, which they already have, sell their products to them and let them function on their own. The reality for us, Steve, is we have to focus on paying a mortgage, and $37 trillion of debt is not something we should ignore.
Wildfires in Utah and other Western states. You are sponsoring a bill that's currently being negotiated right now in Congress called the Wildfire Research Institutional Act. Did I get that right?
Right on.
All right, what does that entail? What does it do?
We just got it out of committee, too, and that's heading to the House floor, and I expect it to pass because wildfires don't respect boundaries, and it's not a partisan issue. The reality is wildfires indiscriminately burn through Democrats and Republicans' households and lands. This is a disaster for the United States of America, and the Wildfire Research Institute allows us to actually get a Wildfire Research Institute that will be actually housed at Utah State University, allowing us to develop the research that's going to help us reduce the wildfires, not only in the West, but throughout the country. And so I'm really excited about that bill. Appreciate the support of my Senate colleagues, Senator Lee and Senator Curtis, who are helping me with that. And we're moving that bill forward, and I expect it to pass in the next several weeks.
Are the forests managed differently in blue states versus red states? For example, Rocky Mountain Power proposed a 30% rate increase to the citizens of users here in Utah and in Idaho. Well, we have great Forest Service management policies here because we get rid of the dry fuels. But in Northern California and Oregon, they don't.
One of the first bills we passed was the Fix Our Forests Act, which allows us to, all over the country, deal with our forests in a healthy way, prescribe burns as well as harvesting, appropriate harvesting of the timber so that we don't have the deadfall sitting around as flaming fuel ready to erupt at the next lightning strike or the next campfire that goes awry. So, and the Fix Our Forests Act was actually sponsored and passed by Bruce Westerman, who's the chair of natural resources on the House side, and he's a forester. So I'm thrilled by that policy and other policies that we're moving forward to not only enhance the use of our federal lands in a responsible fashion, but also reduce these devastating forest fire problems that we have that show up all too often out here.
Okay. Final comment. I just wanted to open it up to you. What was your biggest surprise when you entered the halls of Congress representing our district?
Well, I it's a great privilege to be a representative for the people. I represent 850,000 people. And I'll say to you, Steve, on the top of the Capitol Rotunda is a statue. It's a 19-foot tall statue called the Statue of Freedom. I work for you. I work for the Uinta Basin. I work for my district. I work for the state of Utah. I work for the United States of America. And actually, most importantly, I work for freedom, represented by that statue that's on this Capitol Rotunda. There are a lot of great congressmen who really care. They're patriotic, and I'll say on both sides of the aisle. These are patriotic people who are smart and capable. The buffoonery and the clownery that you often hear only about Congress, I'll just tell you, there's a lot of good people that are working hard to promote the cause of freedom, which is what the United States of America stands for. So it's not a perfect process, nothing is, but I'm honored to be your servant and looking forward to many years of working together. And God bless the United States of America.
Congressman Mike Kennedy, I want to thank you for taking the time to come to the Uinta Basin and your interest in your constituents in this part of the state. So thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us here on News Talk KVL. I'm Steve Evans, and this is News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVL. Thanks for joining us.